And if you would today, turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter number 22. And we're looking at verse 41 through 46. And it's a passage full of questions. And today's message is titled this, Don't Stop Asking Questions. Don't stop asking questions. And I'm a question asker. How many of you are question askers? I might get on your nerves. Sometimes I apologize for people in advance. I apologize to people in advance because I'm so curious. I just ask questions, lots of questions. I remember as a kid, a couple of my cousins, they were question askers, and they had a very unique way of asking their questions. They didn't matter what you said, they would respond with their eyebrows down and the word, cause. You'd say something, they'd say, cause. You keep saying, cause. I'd be like, stop it. They were question answer. They want to know why. Cause. Cause. And so today's message is don't stop asking questions. And there's a great point to be made here in this passage of Scripture. And I think you'll understand the title of the message as we get into the passage and we get into the sermon. I want to encourage you to do this, though. I want you to ask this question. Here's the question that God wants us all to ask. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We should be constantly asking our Savior and our God to make us more and more like Him. And we should desire to be right. We should desire to be righteous. We should desire to have the right attitude and spirit. And we should desire to know our God the best we can possibly know Him. We come to this passage of Scripture, and the Pharisees are gathered around Jesus, and Jesus is asking them the question, and He wants to help them, and He wants to encourage them. He wants them to see that He is the Messiah, but they reject. Look what the Bible says in verse number 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? They say unto Him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call Him Lord? Saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call Him Lord, how is He His son? And no man was able to answer Him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask Him any more questions. Now, I want you to see a recurring theme here in this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to see four question marks. Verse number 42, Jesus looking at the Pharisees says, What think ye of Christ? You see the question mark? There's the first question. And then He asks a second question right on the heels of the first. Whose son is He? Question mark. So it's a fair question. He looks at the Pharisees, and this is the Pharisees representing were students of the Old Testament law, and they had become ingrained in their religion to a point that they would not acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ, but their what they understood of the Bible believed that one of these days a Christ would come. So Jesus just asked them a simple question. What think ye of Christ? And then He asked a specific question regarding Christ. Whose son is He? So He asked two questions, and the answer to that question to the Pharisees was one that was a no-brainer. And the no-brainer answer to whose son is the Messiah, they said the son of David. It was prophesied all through the Old Testament that out of the line and seed of David, one of David's ancestors would be the Messiah. So they said, whose son is he? He asked, whose son is he? They said, well, it's easy, the son of David. The Bible continues and asks another question, verse number 44. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make He's asking a question, how is this possible? I make thine enemies thy footstool. There's another question here. Verse number 45. Jesus asked the final question, If David then call Him Lord, how is He His son? Question mark. And finally, this passage is concluded with, Neither durst any man from that day forth ask Him any more questions. So you got four question marks and the word question in this passage of Scripture. And so there's an emphasis here, no doubt, on questions. And I want to begin by telling you the story. You can read this passage of Scripture, and it's easy in this short passage of Scripture to kind of get a little cross-eyed as you read the text, because we've got to see these back and forth. But with the Lord's help, I want Him to help me to explain to you what this passage of Scripture says, and it just exactly what it says. So you see the picture. The Pharisees, verse 41, were gathered together, and Jesus asked them a question. By the way, the Pharisees were enemies to Christ, but the Pharisees were never Christ's enemies. Does that make sense? Anytime you see Jesus dealing with the Pharisees, even dealing with them kind of straight and even harsh at times, he called them out. Jesus was never dealing with the Pharisees, treating them like his enemies. The Pharisees looked at Christ as their enemy. But Jesus is always asking questions and always working with the Spirit of Christ to help the Pharisees come to know Jesus. Come to know Him. He loves them. He's going to die on the cross for them. So Jesus, you should never think Jesus is angry or put off or dealing unkindly with the Pharisees. He's always working toward helping the Pharisees. And so Jesus, dealing with the Pharisees, wanting them to come to faith in the true Messiah, that He was the true Messiah, He asked them a question. Here's the question. What think ye of Christ? So they would have known the word Christ. They wouldn't, at that time, they wouldn't have acknowledged that Jesus was Christ, but they would have acknowledged the fact that the Bible prophesied that there was coming a Christ. All through the Old Testament, the Bible teaches us that there was a Christ coming. There was a Messiah. Those two words can be used interchangeable. The Messiah was coming. Christ was coming. Christ would fulfill the Old Testament law. Messiah Christ would pay the price for our sins. Messiah Christ would rule and reign victoriously forever. So the Pharisees were looking for a Christ. And so Jesus asked, what think you of Christ? Then he asked them another question. Whose son is he? And they answer, well, he's the son of David. They knew from their Old Testament studies that the Messiah was coming from the seed of David. And they answer the question very quickly and accurately, by the way. He's the son of David. Now, Jesus then counters them. He says, all right, let's go to the Bible. And Jesus takes them to Psalm chapter 110. You'll need to turn there. The Psalm 110, Jesus takes them there. And in verse 43, he asks another question. He saith unto them, Jesus speaking, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Say, now here's the question. Jesus looks at these Pharisees. He says, all right, so David is the father of the Messiah, right? And the Messiah is going to be his son, correct? The answer is yes. Okay, so Jesus looks at these Pharisees. He says, well, if that's true, why is it that in Psalm 110, David, the father of Messiah, refers to him as Lord? At this time, it would have been a terrible thing for a father to refer to his son as his Lord. It would have been demeaning. That patriarchal strength was something that was very important to the culture. And so Jesus just looks at him and says, now in Psalm 110, why is it that David, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, calls Messiah Lord, if in fact David's son is that Messiah? And Jesus quotes the Scripture as he continues his question. Look, the Bible says in verse number 43, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. How is it possible that the Lord, Jehovah God, said unto my Lord, Adonai, the Messiah, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Verse 45, if David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And Jesus asked a very pointed question that has a very simple answer, and I'm going to give it to you. So Jesus looks at the Pharisees. He says, how is it that David refers to his son as Lord? How's that possible? How's that possible? And you know what the Pharisees did? First of all, the Bible says that no man was able to answer him a word. They just said, I don't know. No man answered him a word. And then here's what the Bible says. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Here's what happened. Jesus asked a relevant question, and I'm going to give you the answers to the questions in just a minute. But Jesus asked them a relevant question, and their response was no answer, but their other response was no further questions. Now, folks, I want you to know something. They did not mess up by not answering, but they did make a mistake by not asking any more questions. What do you mean, preacher? I'll tell you what I mean. Jesus is looking at these Pharisees, and Jesus has brought a question into their soul. Jesus has brought up a question that questions everything they've ever believed. Jesus has brought up a question that is going to point them to eternal truth that would set them free, that would give them everlasting life. Jesus is asking them a question that's going to change their life for the glory of God and for their good. Jesus is trying to teach them something. Jesus wants to instruct them and help them and encourage them and point them in the right direction. But when Jesus poses a question that's going to force them to admit that they've been wrong, that's going to force them to admit that their anger toward Jesus is sinful, Jesus asked them a question that's going to force them to humble themselves before Creator God and their Messiah. And you know what they do? Instead of walking through the door of truth and learning and understanding, asking more questions and trying to figure out and find out who this Jesus is, do you know what they do? They turn their hearts cold and off toward God and the things of God, and they continue in their error, and they continue in their wrong ways. And I'll just have you know something. If they did not put their trust in Christ, they've suffered the consequences in hell forever. If they did not put their trust in Christ, their children and their children's children have suffered because of their unwillingness to humble themselves and admit their error and come to faith in Jesus and Jesus alone for their soul salvation and trust in truth. And so today I want to tell you something. Do not become guilty of the same sin of the Pharisees. I know that there are folks here today that are asking questions. What does Jesus mean to me? What does Jesus want for my life? What does Jesus want me to do as a man to lead my home? What does Jesus want me to do as a lady to instruct my children? What does Jesus want me to do in my life? What does Jesus want me to do? What does Jesus mean to me? What is his importance? What is his relevance? And I know there are folks in our congregation right now that are asking questions. What am I supposed to do with God? Where's God supposed to be in my life? And I want to encourage you to do something. Do not stop asking questions. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Because the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And I want to encourage you. You don't have all the answers about God this morning. But you know that there's a stirring in your soul, and you know that God wants to do something, and God's got your attention. Do not stop asking questions. Keep asking. Keep searching. Let God fill that God-shaped void that's in your soul. And let God forgive your sins. And let God guide you. Let God be your Savior. Let Jesus Christ change your life. Do not stop asking questions. Don't stop. Don't stop. Because here's what's going to happen. You'll get your answer. Let me show you this passage of Scripture. I love it. Don't stop asking questions. But here's some things that you can know for sure. Jesus actually, in a moment when the Pharisees are like, I don't know. I don't have anything to say. When they should continue to ask questions and try to understand, Jesus, in the midst of that scene, he makes something very clear. I want you to see it. It's a little bit faint, but you see it pretty clearly when I point it out. Look what the Bible says in verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. Verse 43. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Now, here's what I want you to draw your attention to. What did Jesus say about Psalm 110? When David called Jesus the Messiah Lord, Jesus himself said that David called him Lord in the, what? Spirit. That's right. Do you know what Jesus is testifying to? Now look, when we're asking questions, here's a question you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask, is the Bible reliable? Because it is. When we're asking questions, you don't have to ask, is the Bible the Word of God? You don't have to ask that, because it is. And Jesus at this moment and many other times during his earthly ministry testifies to the fact that the Bible is God-breathed. Now, when you're asking your questions, keep asking them. But remember and know your authority. The authority that we have, the only authority that we have on this earth, is the Word of God. The Bible speaks of itself and says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. The Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible's God-breathed, inspired, and Jesus testifies to this fact. Folks, I want you to know something. When you begin to ask your questions, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Lord, how can you change my heart? Lord, what can I do to serve you? Lord, what place do you have in this world and for me? When you begin to ask the question, am I saved? Am I forgiven? When you begin to ask the question, am I right with God? Am I on the right path? When those questions begin to flood your soul, am I doing what I should as a father, mother, a grandfather, a grandmother, or just a regular old child of God? When you begin to ask those questions, I want to encourage you of something. Jesus points us directly and specifically to the answer and the authority to all of our questions. It's the Bible. You can rest in God's Word. It'll be a light to your feet and your path. God's Word will direct you. God's Word is alive. How many of you have noticed in the time that you've attended Chilhowee Baptist Church that it just seems like the preacher can get up and open the Bible and it has something to say to you? How many of you have noticed that? Me too. You know why? Because it's God's inspired Word. The preacher, my job, you know what my job is to do? My job is to tell you what the Bible says and step out of the way. My job is to point you to the authority and away from myself, because it's the Bible that is the authority. And Jesus, you know what Jesus did? He testified to these Pharisees. He said, now look, if we're going to get our answer to our questions, and I want you to keep asking questions, but if we're going to get answers to our questions, here's where I want the answer to come from. The answer needs to come from the Spirit-inspired Bible. Folks, I want you to know something. When you're asking questions about your God, don't go to the self-help aisle. Go to the inerrant, infallible Word of God. You'll find help and strength. And if you have questions along the way, my phone number is available to everybody, and I'll answer the call. And I want to encourage you. But I'm always going to point you to the Bible. Don't stop asking questions. Number one, know your authority. Your authority is the Bible. Number two, know your Savior. Know your Savior. Now, there's some beautiful things that Jesus teaches these Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees stood in opposition to Jesus because they did not want to admit that that man that they were looking at was the prophesied Messiah. Now, the Pharisees had a real kind of issue. They were trying to figure out what this Messiah that God had promised would actually look like. Now, there were places in the Old Testament where the Messiah was clearly depicted as a lamb that would be slain, smitten, afflicted, rejected of men. But there were also places in Scripture, in the Old Testament, speaking clearly of the Messiah, that said, "He shall reign forever and ever." So, the Pharisees are thinking, what's this Messiah look like? On one side, he's a lamb slain. On the other side, he's going to reign forever and ever. I don't get it. But I'll just tell you something. If they would keep asking the question, they would continue to investigate the Christ, you know what they'd have found out? That Jesus was everything they were looking for. Jesus of Nazareth was all they were looking for. We need to know our Savior. First of all, you need to know of your Savior that He is co-equal with God. Now look what the Scripture says. The Bible says in verse number 44, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." Who can sit equal with God? What man can sit equal with God? Well, I'll just tell you something. No man can sit equal with God except for God. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, God eternal, was seated at the right hand of God. He is co-equal with God the Father. Look what else it says here in this text. Verse 44, "He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord?" Now, what did David say? David is talking about the Messiah. And David says that he is the Lord. And David in his writing in Psalm 110, look what the Scripture says in our text, Matthew 22, verse 44. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." What was David saying? David's saying that Lord God Jehovah has told my Lord Messiah to sit at his right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. When did David write that? Before or after Christmas? Before. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before, David said, "My Lord is seated at the right hand of my Lord until my Lord Jehovah makes his enemies their footstool." So when did Jesus begin? In a lowly manger in Bethlehem? No. Jesus didn't begin there. Jesus has no beginning because he's God. He's all God. God the Son, eternal, co-equal, coexistent with God the Father. You see, we need to know our Savior. Jesus was not just some good man or some good prophet. He is God sent from heaven to pay the price for the sins of the world. He is the only possible Redeemer, the only possible Savior. And you must put your faith and trust in Him. You see, when we're asking these questions, we need to know our authorities, the Bible. We also need to know our Savior. Not only is He co-equal and eternally existent with God, but Jesus is all man. Really, let me show you something. It's fascinating. The Bible says in verse number 43, "He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" Jesus asked the Pharisees a question. How is it possible that David can both be the father of Messiah and this, and also call him Lord? I'll show you. The Scripture says this and teaches us that as a man, Jesus was David's son. As a man, Jesus was David's son. Now, what line did he come from? Who gave birth to Jesus? Mary, of the line of David. He was born. He was born like a man. He was the son of David. Every time that the crowds cried out in Jesus' earthly ministry, "Jesus, thou son of David," you know what they're saying? "We know you're the Messiah." And every time Jesus let them say it and didn't say a word back, he was acknowledging the fact that he was that Messiah. And the only way he could be a Messiah and the son of David is he had to be born of a woman. Jesus is all man. As man, he was David's son. Jesus is all God. As God, he was David's Lord. The only way that you can reconcile who Jesus was the fact that Jesus was the God-man. As God, he was David's Lord. As man, he was David's son. And that's why in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied and said it like this: "For unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given." The child was born on Christmas morning. The son was given as a gift from God, his eternal son, co-equal, eternally existent with God the Father forever. Now look, Jesus is teaching. What's he want these guys to think? I can understand that this is a bit advanced theology, but it's not beyond any of us to understand. Jesus is asking this question to these Pharisees because they had debated this over and over again. And he says, "I want you to understand something. The only possible answer, the only possible way to reconcile who Messiah is Jesus says, you're looking at him. Because I am both the son of David and David's Lord. I am the lamb slain. I am the conquering king. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah." I like what the Bible says. Jesus is right here. Do you see him? Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees, and Jesus is burning. He wants them to know that he is their only hope for everlasting life, and that the message of Christ is, "I am the son of David." But I want you to take your Bibles and turn with the book of Revelation, chapter number 22. Don't be scared of the book of Revelation. Don't be afraid. Jesus in his earthly ministry, he wants everybody to know. He wants the Pharisees to know that he is the Messiah. That he is both all God and all man, the son of David. David's son and David's Lord. And in his earthly ministry, before he ever went to the cross, what's he telling? What's he want these Pharisees to understand? That he is the Messiah, the only hope for everlasting life. Now, as he speaks to the church and all the ages to come until Jesus calls his church home, what's the message of Christ? Verse number 16 of Revelation 22. The Bible says, "I, Jesus, I've sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." What's that mean? He says, "Oh, you know, I'm the son of David, but not only am I the son of David, I am the root of David." What's that mean? What's the root? The root's where it begins. He says, "I'm where David came from, but I'm also the offspring of David." He says, "I'm not only his son as his offspring, but I'm his Lord at his root." And Jesus testifies the fact that he is Messiah. He is eternal God. He says, "I am David's beginning. I am David's ending. I am David's son. I am David's Lord." You see, Jesus makes something very simple. He says, "Pharisees, I'm asking you this question because I want you to think and I want you to ask more questions because I want you to understand that I am the fulfillment of your Old Testament prophecies." And you know what Jesus is saying to you today? Jesus saying to you, I'm asking you this question because I want you to know that I am the hope for everlasting life. I want you to know that I'm the hope for peace in your soul. I want you to know that I'm the hope for your family. I'm the hope for your children. I'm the hope for joy, that the only hope that you have. I want you to know I love you, and what you need is me. That's what Jesus preaches, and Jesus wants you to know. He said it in his ministry. He said it in the book of Revelation to the churches. He says, I want you to know something. I'm everything that you need. And when you have questions, keep asking them, because you need to hear from heaven. You see, Jesus gives us an authority in the Word of God. Jesus gives us an understanding of our Savior, that He is the Messiah. And thirdly, the points go like this: know your authority, know your Savior. Number three, check your answers. Check your answers. Now, what happened? I'll show you. Verse number 42. Jesus asked the question, whose son is he? They say to him, the son of David. I mean, Jesus says, whose son is Messiah? They immediately say, well, he's the son of David. Right. They gave a really quick answer. They gave the right answer, but they did not understand their answer. And so the Bible concludes in this passage of Scripture, no man was able, verse 46, to answer him a word. Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This passage gives us the sense that they didn't have the courage to ask any more questions. This passage gives us the idea that they were afraid of the answer. I had this house in Knoxville for several years. I did a very dumb thing. I bought a little house in 2008, and anybody that knows anything about 2008 knows it was a terrible idea. I bought a little house in Knoxville in 2008 that Ruth and I and the boys lived in. When we moved from Knoxville to North Carolina, I was stuck with it, so I rented it. It was a total nightmare. I'm a terrible landlord. I mean, awful, awful landlord. I did one time evict a disabled veteran and his 90-year-old grandmother. Is that awful? After they owed me $5,000, I did evict them finally. But I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I'm a terrible landlord. But I remember that sore subject of my little house in Knoxville. It was awful. It was a total financial disaster. It was a liability. Finally sold it, praise the Lord. But I remember that house. I hated it. How many of you ever had something that you just hated like that? And so, you know, I would be preaching in Knoxville, drive through Knoxville. I have a house in Knoxville. You know what I'd do? I'd pretend the thing did not even exist. You can forget it. I mean, I knew about where it was off the interstate. And when we went past it on the interstate, I turned my head the other way and just keep going. I mean, there were times that I would go a year without even driving by the house. You know why? Because I didn't want to be reminded of the mistake that I'd made. I didn't ask questions about it. You know why? Because I didn't want to know the answers. Hated it. I hated it. I avoided it at all costs. Unless I just had to. Now, how many of you remember math class? Oh. My father-in-law was a math teacher. How do you remember the teacher saying, all right, you've done your homework, check your answers? How many of you like me when they said check your answers, cold chills ran down your spine because you didn't want to have to check your answers? You know why I didn't want to check my answers? Because every time I checked my answers, I found out I'd made a bunch of mistakes. It was terrible. I did not want to check my answers. I did not want to ask the questions necessary to see where I was wrong. Because I'm a man with a sin nature. I don't like to be wrong. How many of you are with me? I don't like being wrong. The teacher said, check your answers. And you know what happened? If I would take the time to ask the questions and check my answers, I'd find out where I went wrong. I could make the corrections and turn in work that was right and accurate. Now, the subject matter that we're dealing with today is far more important than multiplication and addition and subtraction on a homework paper. But God is asking you to do something. Check your answers. Check your answers. These guys, when Jesus put them on their heels, and what they'd always believed to be true proved to be wrong. You know what they did? They said, I'm not asking any more questions. I'm just going to keep going in my error and do my own thing because I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have to acknowledge that I made a mistake. I don't want to have to admit that I didn't understand. And I'll tell you something. In matters of life and eternity, if you are unwilling to keep asking questions until you understand what it is God wants you to do with your life, until you understand what it really means to have your sins forgiven and your soul washed clean, until you really know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, saved by grace through faith, until you really know what it means to understand what Jesus can and will and desires to do for you, until you come to the place where you understand and experience the peace that passes understanding, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, until you come to the place where you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do something. Don't stop asking questions. Keep going to the authority, the Word of God. Keep seeking the Savior, the only Savior, Jesus. And I can promise you this, if you'll ask, you'll find. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Hey, folks, keep asking. Keep asking, because there's some things that's not a big deal to be wrong about. Look, it's a bit expensive, but the whole house thing in Knoxville, it's over. It's a bit painful, but we made it through math class, didn't we, Matthew? Finally. No big deal, it's over. But I want you to know something. Eternity is way too long to be wrong about the matters of your eternal soul and about the matters of your responsibilities as a child of God for the sake of your family. So I can't help but believe there's folks asking questions. God's word to you this morning is don't stop. Don't stop. Ask God. Ask the preacher. Ask faithful Christian people. Ask questions. Get answers. And do not be satisfied until you've experienced the peace that only God can give. What would have happened to these Pharisees that day if they'd said, if all their buddies went away and they walked up to Jesus, they said, hey, look, I don't completely understand what you said. What do you think Jesus would have done? Depart from me. No! I think Jesus would have opened the scriptures and explained to him the truth of Messiah. And if that Pharisee had let his buddies go away and he said, hey, listen, I don't understand everything you said. You know what Jesus would have done? He'd have preached to him Jesus and given him all the answers that he needed to have perfect saving faith. But what'd they do? They didn't check their answers. They said, he's the son of David. And that was good enough for them. And no man from that point forth durst ask him any questions. My message to you is this. Actually, God's message to you is this. Don't stop asking questions. Get your heart right with God.